up, what's up? One more time, it's a scenario crew in the building here. Your boy Matt Whitener here. We got my guy,
man.
Jose Acevedo in the building.
Jose Acevedo, man.
We're just breaking down his
latest
scheme.
Shout out to my Dominican brothers.
Hey, but you know, we can't, we bring the scenario to you usually, but we got a difference maker in the building here. So it must be OG Hour again.
Absolutely.
The Hall of Famer at life himself, then football.
Right.
Orlando Pace in the building. What's
up,
brother?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, you guys have upgraded the digs, man. I like it, brother. Hey, I like it. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, man, I'm glad you're here to display this wisdom for us and the people one more time. Since the last joint, people got real comfortable since the last joint. They're like, all right, now we feel like we know we can't reach him on Twitter because he don't know how to log into the joint. So we're just going to, we're going to go about the right methods to get in contact with you. So what we got, man? We got a lot of things to get into
today. A lot, but let's jump into the mail. First email comes from TJ Swanson. Shout out to TJ Swanson. You actually took your name from the rap crew, the Juice Crew.
Why do all these rappers that aren't who they really are email you?
Well, no, this is not the real TJ Swanson.
Well, I know, but you had not the real
Glasses Malone. I know this can't be the real people because they wouldn't say that. They would like, okay, I don't know, maybe it's TJ Swanson. I don't know,
man.
I'm just assuming it's not.
It's all good. I'm just trying to figure out why you got the bootleg rap crew following you.
Like it's a whole section of like 90s, 80s and 90s rappers.
Yeah. Like Professor, like what's his name? We got Ray knows every rapper. So we got everybody in the building tonight. We got my old boy Ray back there.
No, so what you talking about? Like Professor Griff?
Yes, there you go.
From Public Enemy.
Yeah, the fake one.
Yeah, but
though.
He's not even a rapper.
But I'm just saying the fake one though.
Oh,
I'm just Professor saying like
Riff?
Fake hip hop characters
like
looking at
Professor Riff?
Yeah.
So this one he says, this OG Hour is amazing. First question off the top is for Pace. If you had to have a five people backyard alley fight with members from Ohio State, who you choosing? Now this is a fight to the death. Who you got?
Ooh, that's tough.
Now hold up. Before he goes, is he part of the crew or is these the people he taking with him?
No, he's bringing with him. He's bringing
okay,
him.
So
like,
he's already there.
Or he's on the phone
more.
Saying like, hey, meet me in the back alley. It's such and such time in this city. We got to fight.
Christ. I'm bringing five people with me.
We bring five people
Ooh,
with
me. I think the first guy I'll probably bring is, David Boston.
Dude, I said that in my mind. I said David Boston. I was like,
but I mean,
David
like the NFL David Boston. Like, yeah,
I'm about to say, you talking about WWF David Boston?
Absolutely. That looked like a linebacker playing receiver,
you're
brother.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Big Boston.
Big Boston.
Boston
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a couple, you know what? The funny thing about it, like, you see them playing football. You see a lot of guys playing football, but a lot of these dudes are just crazy. So I might say some names that you don't really. Like, yeah, right, hey.
No, I'm good.
You know, people can Google them. They can Google
absolutely,
these people.
Absolutely.
The people going to know.
Yeah, they're going to know. I got to ride with, who else? Probably Eddie George.
Okay.
Okay.
And then Joey Galloway. He got the speed quick. He still can bench 400 pounds.
What?
Now?
Yeah,
Joey Galloway can?
Ran a 4.1, so he can do. He's powerful as I don't know what. So
wow.
One of the strongest dudes that ever been there. Maurice Claret, just because he.
Oh, you know he's showing up ready.
And look, and he got that thumper in the car.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
That Maurice Claret care package with that bulletproof.
I'm trying to tell you. Right now, I'm trying to tell you, man.
He's got that thumper in the
you
car.
Know?
Mo, I might need you.
Right.
You know I'm ready.
Right.
Right now.
I'm at the alley already.
Right.
I've
right
been waiting
now.
For this call. Right. I'm already here.
My guy Ricky.
If you don't stay ready, you ain't be ready.
Right. My guy Ricky Dudley, who's a tight end, tough dude, big strong
Dudley.
Dude, though,
okay.
Big dude.
All right.
And probably Zeke. Zeke is another cat, fast, strong,
okay.
Powerful dude. Who
okay.
Who waiting on somebody to, you know.
So I'm seeing you got like mad skill position cats here.
Yeah,
like,
I'm offensive guy.
You know, okay, that's real. That's real.
Because you know
I was
mean?
Sitting there thinking, like, maybe like that wily ass strong
so
safety
no
or that
Katsumori
middle
yeah,
linebacker.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't bring, yeah, you're right.
Katsumori
would be one of them.
Because he seems like he's crazy.
Because he'll go, like, yeah, you're right.
It seems like he'd be crazy for some reason.
See, because, like, my thing, when I got to school, that I realized was just how OC. Them white boys would get
hey, no.
Like I feel like you would have access to the most OC of white boys in Columbus.
Oh, no. Hey, let me just say this: you remember the movie The Program?
Yes,
dude. I thought that's what college football was, man.
Shit, you about to tell me it's not now?
No, it is a couple of those cats, man. And I don't want to call them out because they'd be like, "Damn, Mo, I ain't suffering from CTE."
AJ Hawk,
tough dude. Them linebackers, some tough cats though. Like I roll with any of them boys, man. I'm telling you.
I believe it.
You know what I mean? So.
I was sitting there, looking. When they asked, when they first sent that question, I was thinking, I was like, man, who all the, everybody that came out of Ohio State? I'm like, so what would happen if
you know what? You know, let me say one more guy, because this dude, is like, I played against Alonzo Spellman, right?
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Big dude.
Okay.
And he's an Ohio State guy. I played him about 10 times in the league. Never spoke to me. You know, it's normally, hey, what's up, Ohio State?
Right.
Never spoke to me. His 10th year, 11th year, hey, what's up, Orlando? Like, dude, hold on. We done played.
Was he retired?
Yeah, no, he was still playing. So, he's retired now. But he's like, dude, we done played each other like 10 times, dog. He just said, hey, what's up, Orlando? You went to Ohio State? Started talking Ohio State. I'm like.
So he didn't know? Like, he didn't know that he was.
No, he knew, but I don't know what was that. I'm like.
Like, come on.
You still his girl or something?
Like, oh, yeah, like, so, like, yeah, I don't know what
like,
happened.
It's got to be common knowledge.
No,
like,
hold on. He goes, you remember Tiffin?
Yeah.
And stayed in a righteous dorm.
I married her.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, like them type of story. You never know. Cats got beef from, you know, whatever, man. You never know.
I always just like when you got that one wild card, like that dude, and you're like, yo, I'm bringing the punter. Like the punter, like, the yo, punter. This dude will slam his head against the wall and be straight. Like, yeah, don't mess with him. Like, yeah. This that crazy. That's what I realized in college, man. You ain't finna, like, just rough up these cats. They might be from the backwoods sticks.
No.
And that's when I realized that them white boys that was coming out the country, they was coming out just as rough and ready, if not rougher and readier
rougher
than we
and look,
was.
And stronger than ever,
because they fueled up on them 24 packs of that light beer.
They
not drinking that Hennessy. They drinking 24 beers at a time.
I'm telling you, them farm boys, man, they strong and they look crazy, man.
I hear that. What else we got out there?
Next up, I had to chop this one up. This brother has like 7 paragraphs. So I just scanned it to try to get the meat of it.
Is his name Clayton?
No, it's not Clayton. Is some beef with Clayton out here?
No.
He says, big fan of the show. This OG hour is something I'm definitely looking forward to seeing over the time period. Question for Pace. You all were talking about being in the club with bottles and hanging out and all those different things. Who is the person or persons, if you saw them talking to your lady or somebody else, you like, oh, no, it's over.
Oh, like you got to get like her away from him?
Right. Him, I think like the biggest player, like you'd be like, oh, she gone. Or he walk in like everybody hiding their women. That's the way he's saying. I'm just paraphrasing what he's saying. Like, hide your girl. This dude, he got it. He just got the juice like that.
That's tough, man. That's a tough one, man.
Because you said AI before, because he talks about it. He said AI was like, they. Who was like AI? That you knew
locally, like on the
team? No, like football wise. You said AI for basketball.
They used to say you at the bowl. We gonna get to that in a second, but like the cat that's just running the room.
Yeah, you see a cat like Michael Irvin walk through the room.
Really?
And he's like,
Michael Irvin got it like that?
I think Mike had, my first time I saw Mike, he came through with like 2 of the baddest chicks I've seen, right? In the party.
Wow. Right? Irvin had the juice like that?
Had the mink coat on. Like he was living, like, dude, I'm talking about living a life. And that's like when you'd be like, oh yeah, your girl over there, oh yeah, she ruined. She died.
He was living like Ric Flair.
That's a through priest.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he said.
Yeah,
girl
absolutely. Yeah, ain't no telling what, you know, them cowboys back in the White House days was rough.
Okay, so
man.
That's what I'm going to say. I feel like they had a pedigree.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Was just like on another level. You on the best team of your generation. You in Dallas, Texas of all spots.
And you got
that cast of crew together down there?
Yeah. No question.
I can believe it. I can believe the playmaker.
Like that makes sense. Them cowboys, man, they were anytime you had a house, the White House across from the practice facility, and everybody knew about it and you were still winning games.
So how big was this White House? I've heard these different things. Like have you ever seen the White House?
I've never seen the White House.
They shut it down before you got in the
league. Yeah, they shut it down. But you hear stories, man. The stories are unbelievable.
Like, that's not even possible in today's world.
No, you can't.
There's no way.
No, not today's
There's
world.
No
Tristan
way.
Thompson
Absolutely
already trying
no
to
way.
Get people to put their cell phone
Yo,
down.
No, no. Robert Kraft, you can't get that
right,
down.
Oh.
Right now, brother. You can't.
Hey,
the NFL is cracking down on all things, man.
Hey,
it looks
it's
like
funny
the White
you bring
House.
That up. We talked about this last week on the scenario. He said, what happens now? Owners punishing owners? For making they sales look bad? Like, what is that room like?
Or does Robert Kraft have enough juice to get over this is my point.
He doesn't have – I don't think he has enough juice to get over it. What I think he does is he putting heat on all the other owners, right?
Oh. Mm. Oh, he coming with that Alonzo off training day.
You're like, now everybody got to clean up their situation, whatever they got going on.
So everybody got the PR person on them now.
They can't go to the massage parlor no more.
It's hot. They sending
a homeboy into the room now, like, hold on, check for cameras.
Oh.
Is this thing, Mike, debugging the room, everything.
Matter of fact, meet me in the middle of Forest Park.
They running.
Absolutely.
Middle of the field.
Absolutely.
They out here in trench coats in midday.
Absolutely.
In Miami.
With a decoy, like living like they the president or something. Like, you got to sweep the room before I come in. I need to bug it. I need to do everything.
So he's making it hot. He's more making it hot for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And in the league, they're going to punish him a little bit because they don't want, they hate when something negative comes out about either ownership players. But, you know, obviously the players are going to have a say if they don't punish him. Because if that was a player in that situation, you know, he's suspended 3 or 4 games or whatever. They'll hit Kraft in the pocket a little bit, maybe suspend him for some games. But, you know.
I mean, but you think they're coming off that Jerry Richardson thing, that they're going to let it kind of slide? Because I feel like owners been getting slapped a lot harder than they used to.
Yeah, but, Kraft and, you know.
Well, he's probably in that room, though. He's probably, what, number two dog? Like, he's the vice president of the whole thing?
I think Jerry has probably the loudest bark in there, and then probably Kraft is number two.
Okay.
So they'll probably, you know, obviously those owners, it's a close-knit circle. They'll probably come together and come up with some
agreement. Well, because they got to look out for each other. Because, like, they money all. That's like the biggest Ponzi situation in the world. They got to make sure they're good.
It's like a secret society now, man. You know?
I believe it.
I mean, I think this is all Meek Mill fault, though.
I knew that was coming.
I didn't put my conspiracy ninja hat on, but I will.
Go for it. Tie your ninja mask around your face and go for it.
Fully going for it. So now I'm looking at the other owner. I forgot the other owner from the Philadelphia 76ers. He got to be staying low. He got to stay low, low. He can't go to no games, nothing.
He got to lay low.
This McMill thing is spilling over because they put him out there early, like, yo, Robert Kraft was here. It's some other people listed too, but Robert Kraft specifically. He was fighting for Meek Mill with this whole, they started this whole organization with Van Jones, where it's like to help people get out of jail and help them get out this social justice. And he put like 10 or 20 million in it with the owner of the Sixers and Jay-Z.
Okay.
So, man.
So is Robert Kraft becoming Bullworth?
Yes.
Where he just.
He's got to go on a Meek Mill track at this point. I think Robert Kraft? He's got to go full Darth. I don't know if that what it would be. Like,
man, that's
he's got to go full. He's got to be on What's Free to Remix.
With Kraft dropping bars?
Yeah, you don't. That's an intro. How Dame used to do intro. That's be on there. It's Dame. It's Kraft.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ain't talking about Velveeta.
Yep, that's
Kraft
it.
Time.
They think they're going to hold me down. Oh.
But you know what? He held him fast. He's like, not guilty. I didn't do, bro, they got you on video. Nah, it wasn't me. He said not guilty.
If he gets out of this after that tape, I'm going to believe that the privilege is more powerful than
but
I
you know
even
who his boy. You know Trump is his boy, though. It's Trump.
Right,
Trump
but I think Trump's separating, though. He was going to visit Meek Mill at jail and crying, they said.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't believe you. And he was crying, they said. Like, he was like, I got to do something to get him out of jail.
Like, they did turn, like, Meek Mill into, like, low-key into, like, Malcolm X.
Yeah, like Nelson Mandela or something.
Is it me or did Meek Mill, like, he elevated his life, bro,
dude,
since he got out?
He's winning. Him and Tupac are the only two people that got out of jail and became better rappers.
Absolutely.
Like, they got more money.
He hanging around billionaires now, just like it's nothing. Like
Meek Mill has become, like, Puff Daddy or something. Like,
dude. Absolutely.
Like, he's a mogul now, like, somehow. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, I'm glad you said that because I was like, what did I miss? Like, I really felt like I missed something.
Me too. I was like, dude, where is this?
When did Meek Mill?
I was like, he went into jail after Drake had bodied him with like that 8-piece,
and
he came out.
His girl broke up with him,
and his girl dipped on him.
Hold on, you lose Nicki, you lose the battle with Drake, and you winning right now in life, bro.
I'm like, he came out better. Like, nobody's ever gotten bodied on tracks, lost their chick, and then came out with like more Republican friends than ever before.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But I'm saying, I think it's a little schism, though. He's like, yo. You know what? I mean, you hanging with this Meek Mill guy. Y'all got all this stuff going on. So that's the conspiracy brother in me right there, man.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
You can't knock his hustle, though, man. He winning, bro. He's changed the game. Elevated his life, bro.
His life is in the right place. I can't complain. We got you got any more parts
of
that long distance? I saw that email. It looked like the Star Wars credits over there.
No, keep them coming, fuck. Keep them coming.
Okay, you open it back up.
Go for it. We'll do three. We'll do two more. Do two more quick ones if we got that. Because we got some nitty gritty to get into here.
All right, Pace. If you had to see, what would be the worst game that you've seen on the plane being played where you like, y'all really playing that kind of gambling game on the plane?
Oh.
So, for instance, are they playing spades with side bets, poker, other things where you like, y'all doing a lot more extra than possible?
Nah, we playing Bure. And we playing in between, right? These right. two mm-hmm. games, right?
But he's saying like somebody got, let's play poker, like a full poker.
Like it's a kid's table.
And you're like, come on, man, what are you doing? We're not playing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a whole lot of that poker on the, because you know the plane, if you look at thinking about the plane, mm-hmm. commercial plane, you ain't got time for all that. So
yeah,
you need some quick hitting games.
No dice, nobody playing dice in the aisle.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. If you
so
see
how
some,
was that going with the tilt of the plane?
Brother, like, hey, you see.
Oh, you trying to fade that seven and then get that turbulence.
You see guys land across the seats, playing in the aisle, man.
Oh, God.
What? So they laid down like flat, like right, a planking, over the top.
You will find a way to get a dice game going, man.
They get in that shoebox.
I forgot
out
about the dice game. Oh, absolutely.
So it's in the shoebox. It's not free flowing.
No, it could be free flowing too, brother. We'll set Ooh, something
so
up.
It could
man.
Be going up under the. So how does that go to? Is the dice where it ends up at, or where is it the initial end?
That's all in the game, brother.
So I'm saying, if it rolls under four seats, are we going up under the four
no,
seats?
No.
No, you got to run that back.
It's still in the game. It's still in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's so much, man. I mean,
you feel
it's
like
crazy.
I heard people saying that they felt like some of the teams now, because of how cats always be in their iPads, be in their headphones and stuff. You feel like teams still locking up like that and still, you know what I'm saying, like spending that time like that?
Oh, yeah. Guys like to gamble. They love to gamble, man. Okay. So that's never going away just because there's too much money on the plane. Guys are bored.
You it's know, that chance go. For that seventh rounder to feel like a second rounder.
Absolutely.
For a day.
Absolutely.
That was
Absolutely.
One of his questions. Has a seventh rounder came up to be like a harp?
Absolutely.
Oh, gambling, where Absolutely. He literally just goes to work to gamble.
Absolutely not. He hadn't came up that way because Big Bang takes Little Bang. Always.
Right, you can't outbet it. It's like you can't outbet it.
At some point, he might win early in the trip. At some point, he can't sustain it. Man.
So do cats really play just to pass the time, or do you feel like cats
trying to get it? Man.
Like I get, but I feel like at the end of the day, it's going to break down to like the quarterback, the tackle, the star receiver, and maybe a DM playing, because they the only ones that's got that cake
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, but it's all competitive, brother. We trying to win.
I hear
I got
that.
My whole
so
Christmas
there's no, there's,
paid
there's
for
no
win. No, I know. Okay, I got a story about him real quick then about this. This is, you don't gamble with him unless it's going to be an even playing field either. We sitting here watching the game, and we just do innocent enough. We do squares, all right? So we do this. Mind you, we doing squares after we celebrating a full year of him winning a full year bet as well.
Right, for the pick league.
Yeah, for pick league. Because I put the picture out on Instagram about how I most certainly didn't win the pick league.
What, you go 0-19?
I went as many weeks as we played. I lost every last one of them.
Wow.
But it's a mathematical improbability. It lets me know that we go into the championship next year.
Absolutely.
But we play squares. And here's Big Bank take Little Bank. There's maybe about 20 squares out there.
And it's $5 per square.
I wanted $5 per square.
It ended up being five a square.
Okay.
That ended up being five. It'll never be five a square again, and this is why. It's 40 squares or whatever on the thing. We got about 20 of them left. Oh, like, oh, how many of them left over there? I'll take that six. Somebody else about two more. We got a few more left. Oh, no, what I got on me. Oh, hold up. I'll take that. I'll take the rest of them.
I'll take the rest of them.
He Absolutely. Wins the damn thing.
Absolutely.
I was a seventh rounder. He was a first rounder. And Patrick Mahomes made one completion, and I just watched my money disappear. So this is the law of averages. It's
so
a real
so
thing.
There's not no like Cinderella stories of this gambling on the plane. Like, were you like, yo, Leroy? That dude came up. He know how to gamble. Like, he got his little check. And he moved it up, and he became a second rounder.
I will tell you what happens, though, right? If the seventh rounder starts winning, we're playing in the locker room when we get back.
Oh, so y'all going to – it's like a Jordan thing where, like, you got to keep playing?
You got to keep playing.
Yo,
and
like,
we're going to make you play.
I mean, where can you go, though?
Purpose and, like, try to, like –
No, we're like, no, we're going to see – if somebody got some real money, we're like, we're taking this to the locker room. Let's go. Like, we've done that before.
But so what happens – so what happens, like, if you got, like – you got, let's say – who's quarterback your rookie year?
It was Tony Banks.
Okay, Tony Banks wasn't exactly
right. Seemed, like seemed like he
was
be was, a part
was
of
Bettister
this.
Your rookie year?
No, Bettister wasn't there. No.
Ike was there, though.
Ike was
so
there.
Let's just say Ike had a contract by that time.
Right.
So let's just say for kicks and giggles, somebody like you that's coming straight in off the street, first pick money,
right.
And you got a veteran there. You ain't necessarily stepping in like the seventh round cat, so you kind of moving up the scales right away.
Right.
But you a rookie, too.
Right.
They coming for you.
They coming for me, but it's all about who got the money, who got the juice, right?
So it's not rookie thing at the point.
No, if you got the juice, we love big money rookies.
Okay. Okay. Oh, you love it because
yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can take their money, but at the same time, though, they got enough to look. They got enough to take yours too, though, if they're willing to bet it.
Okay, I would think I'd come in
hey,
that
so
league.
So seventh rounder can't have like no Cinderella story.
Dude,
where,
we will play until like.
Damn. So would catches lose on purpose? Like, cause I got to go home. It's like,
no, you got 19 or 20 weeks with these cats. You not getting away.
You can't go home.
No. I'm saying I'm gonna lose because I just want to go home. I'm gonna lose on purpose before I can go home.
I think some of those guys probably might have lost on purpose.
That's what I'm saying.
We had 5-6 in the morning in the locker room.
Oh my god!
Like flat out degenerates, man. One time. It's IOUs everywhere. Like Kessel, like, dude.
Oh, Kessel.
Hey, and the problem is, and there was one dude I remember, hey, we didn't know if he was going to get cut because it's right after a preseason game. So we like, dog, we ain't letting you leave with all our money.
No. He was for the house, y'all. Like, he was going to go home. Like, I see y'all tomorrow. Oh, no. And no, he
wasn't. He was one of them cats that played in the fourth quarter, that fourth preseason game. You're like, dog, they're going to cut you. I'll cut your ass tomorrow.
Man. He was the Hard Knocks dude.
Yeah, but he was coming up one time. We're like, nah, bro. Nah.
So y'all made him stay to get
the
money.
Oh, yeah. You need to you go to the ATM. Let's get this IOU.
Oh, damn.
He was going to try to skate on us.
Can you imagine getting walked to the ATM like that? Go ahead, do what you got to do, player.
Yeah, I'm going
to
drive you, brother.
No, my thing is, I might have to break out. I might have to go to the ATM and just run. Like, I'm talking about, like, if I'm going off and get cut, I might just give me a flight and just leave.
But you can't leave. You all work together no matter what.
No, he said he's going to get cut.
But I'm saying you get cut, and then you look at the schedule where you go next time, you right back in St. Louis.
Oh, absolutely.
You right back in St. Louis week three.
Look, hey, I got a growing pool.
I've seen cats that – I seen a dude in Columbus probably like a month ago. He was a rookie. I said, dude, you still owe me some money, man.
Oh, my God. So
I'm not lying. I did
so
say
you chose
that.
Oakley?
I was like, dude, come on, man.
Like, Oak? That's
I
Oak?
Said, he was like, hey, big, hey, Earl. I was like, dude, hold on. You still owe me some money from the Blu-ray game. Like,
in 1998.
Like 15 years ago.
Interest.
And I still remember. I'm
interest.
Like, and then he got, because he had got cut and disappeared over me. I said, oh, man. Was he
that dude from that Falcons tape?
No.
I was on Twitter, and we sent this. We got a little text between our homeboys and stuff. And it was just this video. This dude just came off the line. Oh, just lifted him like 5 feet. Now. I'm talking about it was brutal. And I was like immediately like, yo, that was something for me. The college or some bread was on the line. But
was,
you just said
personal.
He was,
it was
you
personal.
Said he was talking.
It was personal.
Yes.
Yeah, he was talking a lot of trash. He was talking a lot of trash.
But that wasn't one that's a regular block. That was like,
no, it was,
I
got
to destroy
some,
you.
Yeah, yeah. It was some, yeah, little dog, I got you type block.
Yeah. So.
Well, all right, man. So real quick to get into the meat of what we wanted to hit is Super Bowl weekend and came and gone. You know what I'm saying? And I know every year for you, that's like an annual holiday.
Well,
you know,
absolutely.
Get up with the people, get up with the culture, you know, go down there, have a good time. It was in New Orleans.
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Set up for, was that because the logistics of Atlanta are horrible in general. Was it as horrible as I thought a Super Bowl in Atlanta would be? Just logistically, not like kicking
The traffic is always bad on a normal day in the A, but in Super Bowl, it was still bad. Like you couldn't really maneuver the way you wanted to maneuver because you're trying to get out to Buckhead. It's going to take you. But public transportation was big, though, so you could jump
on the
buggy.
So you jumped on the Martyr?
I went to a concert, man. On the way back, I jumped on the Martyr, man. It was like, dude.
So Pace was sitting on the Martyr.
On the Martyr, brother. I'm like, dude, I'm not about to spend an hour.
Anybody say anything
to you? Everybody was trying to get on.
So everybody was like, yo, are we all in the same demo?
We all the same boat. Let's do it.
Marta was acting like the VIP coach there. Where you just got
to
get where you got
to
get.
Yeah, I went to the Cardi B concert after that. Man, I'm jumping on this Marta.
Oh,
man.
You was at the Robert Kraft version?
No.
Robert Kraft had her before?
He jumped on stage.
What? I didn't know this.
Was that the post game?
I thought it was after.
She had a concert prior too, so maybe she performed somewhere else at his spot too.
I think she did another show somewhere else because he was on stage.
Robert Kraft is really living his best life.
That's what I said. Exactly. He's got to go full. He's got to get on the track.
Yo, he's
what's
full,
free remix?
Yo, he's 100% Bulworth now, dog. Like he's not ever coming back.
Maybe he was set up, man, as a conspiracy to slow him
down.
Now
y'all see
bro.
The conspiracy. he ain't getting out with all these Negroes.
He's doing too much.
You think his people was like, yo? We got to go ahead and put the brakes on this.
Put the brakes on.
He's hanging out.
We're going to have a little hit right now.
Yeah.
Because we may lose some money. He may end up hanging out with Master P in a minute.
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
He may be I Got the Hookup 2 premiere.
And I'm not a conspiracy guy, but dude, I'm like, come on, man.
Robert Kraft and Master P can't inhabit the same general ozone. You just can't have that. But anyway.
Master P was the manager for, the agent for Ricky Williams at one point.
Yeah, he engineered the worst trade in the history of sports.
The worst contract.
Yeah, well, they didn't. Oh, no, the Saints had the worst trade,
yes,
and then he made
the
worst contract.
Yeah,
he was probably the worst managed elite athlete I've ever seen in my
by
life.
Far.
Like, yeah. Period. No, that's that? Crazy.
Yeah.
Ricky Williams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that was just like, come on. This is, you're supposed to be, they talking about you like you're going to be the next Walter Payton, and now you getting.
He should have been.
And now you getting Master P to negotiate your deals?
Hey, brother, I would have stopped when they had him in the wedding gown on
with
the cover
with
the
Mike Dickens.
Oh, that was too much, bro. Don't put me in no wedding gown, man.
No, we're not doing that.
I don't care how big the check is.
Like, yeah, because y'all played against him in the playoffs. He was on that Saints squad when we lost to him, right?
I think so. I think he was. Yeah. I don't know. He had jumped a few teams. I think he was on that squad.
Yeah, he was on there with Brooks and him, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just like one of them old for the culture ass teams.
No, that New Orleans squad was a hood New Orleans
squad. Yeah, Joe Horn out there.
That was a hood squad.
Yeah, no, because what was they?
Was Leroy on that team?
Leroy was on that team.
I was
going to
say,
Leroy,
what was the other D tackle that was hood on there? He has all the cars. When they did, remember that TV show, The Life? They did like in like 99, 2000.
Yeah,
and he just showed off. It was him and Aaron Brooks. They was just showing off cars going to a car wash.
Yo, I'll tell you what.
Big
Norman Hand.
That's him.
Yeah. Willie Rolfe was on that squad.
He was an old lineman.
They had a great squad. Yeah, okay. They had a great squad, man.
But so getting into like names like that from the back, yo, what's that? I guess categorize.
Let's go back to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Go ahead.
But what's the difference in going to the bowl for you now? So like, you know, obviously your first time was as a player. Let's look at it this way. First time as a player, first time going in,
right,
going back, returning as a player, and then, you know, going now. Like, what's, like, the difference in the experience for you?
I think early on when you go, just as a player in retirement, you're just going to kick it, have a good time, party. But the party game has changed so much, man. Back in the day, it used to be like Diddy, Jadim, having parties, different things like that. Now it's all corporate, man. So you got the Verizons of the world, whatever corporations throwing these big parties. And I went to Shaq's party this last in Atlanta. Unbelievable, man.
Was he DJing?
It was a corporate
party. No, but it was like, it was Shaq's fun house. It was like $500 to get in. People were paying $500 to get in.
Wow.
Dude, it was
ridiculous. So, like, people, like, come to you, like, when you get ready to go down there, and, like, you lining up the trip, like, hey, we want for you to be here or be there. Or do you just kind of float around and do whatever you want to do?
No, I obviously with the gold jacket, man, you get an opportunity to make some money. So when you talk about going to the Super Bowl now, that's my main objective, to see, you know, what connections I can make. And you know, obviously, if I can do some appearances and make some money. So that's part of it. But just go down there, hang out, and chill out with the fellas.
So it seems to me kind of like it's like homecoming for the NFL, where, like, you'll just see, like, anybody and everybody, like, walk around the corner and see somebody you ain't seen in a while.
Or somebody owe you some money.
Or somebody that owes you from Blu-ray from 15 years ago.
No, that's the cool thing about the Super Bowl, because you get to see guys and just chill out and kick in and hang out with them. So that's the big thing, where you're just in parties with guys and, you know, obviously you played against some guys, but you get a chance to hang out with them, drink, have a good time.
You probably get a chance to see guys that's playing now, guys you might have got a chance to watch play, but you ain't never met before. I guess kind of extend the legacy in a way.
Oh, absolutely. I run into those guys all the time. And it's, for me, being a retired guy, the most exciting part, gratifying part about it is for when guys come up and show you that respect. And there's a lot of respect guys. You know, I ran into Von Miller. You know, obviously we had a conversation, but the fact that he, you know, because I was out of the league by the time he was just coming up. So it was good to see a lot of those young guys. And obviously I shot a commercial. And they had some of those guys in there, man. And those guys are all respectful, good players, man. So you always get a chance to catch up with some of those young guys and talk to them a little bit.
It's funny you bring that up, because I'm sitting there. It was halftime, I think. I'm sitting there looking at TV. And I'm like, oh, this ain't come up. This didn't come up in chat. I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, the gold jacket that left the house. Absolutely. And it's showing up. So how does that commercial happen? So if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, they had a big, you know, Super Bowl. If you turn your back for 1 second, you might miss something you've never seen before. They had a massive, which anniversary is this for the league? The 100th? 100th. They had a massive 100th anniversary edition for the Super Bowl. So they had all the greats from the past, some guys now. Like, it's a dope commercial. Go back on YouTube and check it out if you missed it. But you're at the table there with Peyton Manning. And who else was
there? Strahan. Strahan was at the table with me. So
I laughed immediately, because I'm sitting here looking like, man, these would have been two people that would have been a hell of a thing to see you in front of Peyton.
Oh, yeah.
That never happened. He was in the other conference. That didn't even happen in the Pro Bowl.
Absolutely.
And then I know that Strahan lining up, you like get him on the other side of the field, make it an easier day. But that's cool, though. How many people were actually there when you did yours?
It was funny. When I was there, I shot with – so we shot everything separately, right? So I shot with Strahan – with Peyton, and then I start with Mike Singletary and the commissioner, which was cool, man. They kind of called me up. Obviously, they need an offensive lineman for the spot. So, you know, obviously, when they were telling me the story and how big it was going to be, I couldn't imagine it was going to be that great of a commercial, man. It was awesome. And by the end of that commercial, and it was a 3-day shoot, they tore that room completely up, man. They were jumping over tables, like what you see on the commercial. Oh, that, wow. That really happened.
Like Odell flying through.
Odell flying. You know, obviously, you got these, you know, it's amazing what goes into a commercial like that, too. We were there for about 2 hours, shot, and they probably showed, you know, less than 10 seconds of what we actually did. But it was pretty cool to be a part of that commercial.
Yeah, that's awesome. I imagine that. So the 100th season is coming up next year, right?
Next year, yeah.
So I imagine there's going to be a lot of other things that are going on.
Where's Super Bowl next year?
Miami, another great city.
So now that's my next question. What city's the best for the Super Bowl to be in?
Ooh, wow.
When you're like, yo, if you had to pass on a year, like, if you didn't want to make sure I didn't pass on this year, what city is it that you're like, yo, if it's there?
I think Miami, New Orleans. Either of those two cities.
What's the underrated one where you'd be like, oh man, that people don't understand. That's kind
Minnesota.
Of a dope.
Not yeah. Minnesota.
Yeah, but you know what Minnesota. I mean? Where you'd be like, oh, that's kind of tough on the low. People just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough though, because I think I can say Dallas, but you know, people think Dallas is.
Yeah, it's popping.
Yeah. Yeah, it's popping. So.
Did you go to the one that was in Arizona?
I did go there. It was just okay.
It was just kind
of. What about the one in New Jersey?
No, that was hot. Yeah. The one in New York was crazy. But everybody was worried they didn't know if snow was coming
right. Yeah.
But it was kind of cool to be a part of that too, because I was the first one outdoor in a cold weather city. Yep.
So absolutely. We're gonna go Miami, and then they're taking it out to LA. LA.
I think it's LA. Yeah.
That's gonna
maybe it's LA 2 years though.
Is it 22 or is it 21? It
might be 21.
Maybe it's 22. I think it's going to be ready to 21.
Because you got to play in the stadium
for one year before you get.
But one thing I would say about Atlanta Stadium. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the coolest things I've seen, man. The way the top opens up.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about that owner, man, obviously I took my kids to the game, and all his prices were just normal prices. Like six kids spent 30 bucks.
All the concession prices. Well, what they did was that they took the concession prices. They was like, everybody's paid $2,000-$4,000 to get in here. The concession prices was like $4 hot dogs, like $3 sodas, what? Like live your life.
Yeah, Arthur Blank, man, what he did with that was – remarkable, man.
But the Chick-fil-A still wasn't open.
Chick-fil-A still wasn't open, though.
No exceptions, Doug.
They do not play. Oh, Chick-fil-A is not
playing.
You
know when they get that money, though? On that SEC championship game Saturday. Yeah, I guarantee that Chick-fil-A is out there.
That line.
They throwing them out. They throwing
absolutely.
Them.
I'm not even standing in that line when that pops up.
No, they
off.
Ain't even. No, they ain't even. They just throwing them at you. You slide your car, they throw them
they
at
just
you.
They just throw you out.
like them folks in Seattle throwing them fish across the joint.
Oh, they make a killing.
It ain't no line. It's just somebody that's throwing out chicken sandwiches. You just
We got a few things. But real quick, man, before we get by, I knew we was going to come to the new studio today. You know what I'm saying? Break it in. It's an awesome place, man. Shout out to Chris and Travis and everybody.
We are live, man,
here at Midcoast Productions and whatnot. This is an awesome place that's coming together. But I couldn't not have some vino on hand.
Absolutely.
We don't do shows and gatherings without there being either some vino.
And people have heard us talk about it, but they could actually see now.
So, yeah, but see, I think maybe I've had this one maybe four times. This is the Abstract.
Abstract, yeah.
2016, but you put me on this, so this
one
is...
One of my favorites, man. You know, we were out the other night, man, and we went through a couple bottles of this, man.
Word.
But it's really one of my favorites now. I'm a prisoner guy, made by the same company, Orange Swift, man, but this is one of my favorites I've been drinking for
a while. Oh, so you're saying like on the Napa move... That come together on the same at the same stop, Abstract and Prisoner?
Yeah.
You got to give one day to that.
Absolutely.
You got to give one day to that.
Absolutely.
My question is, so we were talking off air, NBA versus NFL weekends. They're back to back. What is the different feel for you as
NBA All-Star weekend against Super Bowl weekend?
Versus Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
Orlando Pace. I want to get a perspective not with the yellow jacket on going.
Right.
Like just, I'm just Pace. I play for the team.
Are you still, you know. I mean, let me just say, in your single days, you're still winning, right?
Okay.
Still,
yeah, regardless.
At the end of the day, I'm still 6'7", 6'8",
right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, let me just say, any brother that's 6'7", 6'8",
you know you winning.
Can win at the All-Star game, brother, because they don't know.
They don't care.
They don't care.
they believe you're doing something.
He do something. I don't know if he played college basketball, high school basketball, but I just think the quality of – like the parties, everything is different.
Is it less corporate at NBA than it is NFL?
I think it's less corporate. I think they do some stuff. But it's different because like Jordan had a party, so it's kind of cool because Jordan's party is ridiculous.
I mean, Mike's Mike, right?
Mike is Mike. Kenny Smith, like all these cats, not normal cats, but NBA former NBA players have parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might still have some corporate sponsors, but they still have parties, and they come out from for Mike stuff.
That's kind of like the difference in the power of the league, though, against what the NBA is. Because, like, the league is, it's just something completely different than basketball or baseball or anything. Right. It's just, there's so much buy-in into the NFL. Like, yeah. I don't even want to think about how much money gets spent on Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a crazy number.
If you really want to just walk around, man, it's money everywhere. Like, you go to a tailgate, it's, you know, sponsored by, you know, Fortune 500s. It's just, you know, food everywhere, drink everywhere, whatever you want. It's just a ton of money, man. So
now, we were talking about this on our last show. We was talking about cats that go to the weekends and try to finesse it and try to get in there. Don't have no connections. They just try to get in and just try to make stuff work out the way they can. Which weekend do you feel like it's easier to finesse your way into a good time?
I think they're both the same, man. I saw I was at Shaq's party, right? I saw some guys trying to get in. They were not having it, bro.
Oh, they were blocking them from getting in.
Dude, you couldn't finesse. Like, dude, they're that serious, man. Like, they want to get that money. Maybe the NBA, maybe, but guys don't travel with entourages like that. Remember, guys used to have like 20 people with them. No, you can't do that no more, man.
Really?
You plus one. That's it.
Oh, so if Shaq hook you up, or the people around Shaq hook you up, it's just you and the homie. That's it.
That's what they told me. Hey, you and your wife, let's go.
Dang.
So the travel in those spots were like
4, 5, 6 cats.
No, can't do it.
So it's funny you bring up last weekend when we was drinking, because we went out to get late dinner. We walk in and Jim Edmonds is there. Cardinal, he was here same time as you. Y'all were pretty much parallel careers in St. Louis. Is it kind of like that? Like, you came in, I know y'all rapped for a little bit. You know, Carla rapped with his wife. Carla being your wife, rapped with his wife a bit. Is that kind of like that osmosis on, like, those weekends where you just see somebody? And it's like, you and Jim Edmonds probably ain't, like, best friends or nothing, you know what I'm saying? But it's like that respect where people just see each other and just chop it up.
Not only that, I think at first it was like that, and then obviously we both got kids, so we kind of – in the same circles, in a sense.
Of the kids,
got the kids circles, where you see each other at games and you just start sitting down, you know, chopping it up a little bit.
Did your son text you back yet?
Yeah, he did text me. Okay, back. Finally, bro. Finally.
This is gonna be the point in life you go get.
No, that was a question.
Hold on. I don't want to bury the lead on that joke, because everybody that with kids have older kids gone away at school. Mm-hmm. They all text them at one time to see who would text back.
Yeah, the other night. It was a Saturday night.
It was a Saturday night at about 10:30, and
everybody's kid that's away at college.
They text them all, and they want to see who would text back first. I think it was a bet. It was like a bottle. It was like some wine or something on it.
Okay.
And he lost at that.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It let me know that he still can lose a bet, which made me feel better about next season.
Absolutely. So you need to bet with anything with his son, then. Like, that's you need to make it around.
Whatever it takes.
The other parents had daughters, right?
That's a little different.
They're going to text back a little bit soon. That's true. That's my
theory. I agree with that.
My son was like, man, what about dad? What are you talking about?
What you doing? What do you mean what I'm doing?
That's exactly. I was like, I hit him like, what's up? He was like, what's my dad text me? What's up for on Saturday night? You know what I'm doing, Dad.
You know what time it is. Don't be hitting me out of the blue.
Right.
Hey, man, so real quick, I want to turn the corner real quick about something that happened today. While we're recording this today, it's just been a few hours since the Bryce Harper contract saga finally came to an end. Bryce Harper signed with the Philadelphia Phillies for 13 years and $330 million.
Right.
And I know what your advice usually is about doing stuff is the money there?
Right.
And what's it talking about?
What's it talking about?
In this case, the money was there, but immediately you text back and said you didn't like what it was talking about.
No, I was one of the guys on the chat that said, hey, man, I don't like the deal, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. I say, because when you look at the deal, it's 13 years. That's a long time to be anywhere, right?
That's a big commitment.
Yeah. That's a big commitment.
Yeah.
And it's only, when you look at the average, 25 years? Average a year, 25 million.
25,
a year.
Like a little bit over 25, not counting the signing bonus.
My thing is, he's going to be pissed off in 4 years. Mm. When Mike Trout comes up, when Aaron Judge comes up, and they're getting close to 40.
When Jorge Acevedo comes up.
Yeah, he's going to get that hot 35.
So he's going to be pissed. He's going to be pissed. He's going to be 30 years old making $25 million. Not that that's a slap in the face by any stretch, but when you see these players making the type of money that they're going to be making.
Do you think it justifies the fact that he'll be 39 still getting that 25 mil? Or do you think that by that – I mean, maybe the thing is, I think some of the things a few people have been saying is that they're like, let's not – don't put that much down the line without being able to raise your market value some.
Oh, absolutely. And my thing – and the first thing I brought up in the chat was – Albert Pujols is close to 40.
That's what I was going to say, though.
He's still making $30 million
a year. He got that dough, and he was late like 30-something, though, and got that check.
At least.
So that's my thing is, how can you be,
go ahead, Acevedo,
how can you be a Bryce Harper in your prime making less than an older Albert Pujols who's making $30 million? That just doesn't make
sense.
Well, I mean,
Matt broke it down to me about how basically the owners are trying to put a Minute Maid like squeeze on these contracts.
Right.
So he just got played in the system, it feels like to me, and it's like, well, I got to sign somewhere. Well, he felt like he got to sign somewhere. So let me take the 31.
Well, let's kind of look at it this way, though, too. Like, the point that you brought up was about Nolan Arenado, who signed for 8 years, 260, has got an escape after 3 years.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And he's got the opportunity. Now, obviously, he's going to have, you know, his rights that he'll be able to have no trades and do all that stuff. I would think more likely than not, he might not opt out of that deal.
Right.
But at least he's got the chance to do it.
That's the thing. That's the thing I'm saying about Bryce Harper. You got a no opt out clause. Like, why would you do that? Like, at least at 5 years, you see Trout them get their money, and you blazing it in baseball. No, I got
to
go back to the table, bro. Give
me
that out.
You need to holler back at me.
You're going to be stuck in that deal for 13 years,
well,
man.
And Philly ain't going to never renegotiate that.
That's what I'm saying.
No way. But maybe, you know, maybe his thing is he left some room for them to be able to make some moves around him. You know, maybe it's there.
Philly ain't going to be good.
So, maybe it's there. I mean, you know Mike Trout from Philly.
So this is my thing, though, right? So, obviously, he wanted to be, numbers-wise, he wanted the most money, right?
Yeah, and he said it, by $5 million.
So, you want to be that way, right? But then, all of a sudden, you don't want to be about money? So, which way is it?
Either you bought your paper or not.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you said before that you always, early in your career, saw the value of the control of your time.
Well, you just want the option. You just don't want to be, you don't want to get in a stale deal 8 years in and be like, man, I'm just making these guys are making $40 million a year. I'm making 25.
Because Aaron Judge is going to get that paper. He's going to get paid in full.
Right.
Because you see how he was getting that Derek Jeter Kobe
treatment.
Bryant legacy money.
Yeah,
dog, I'm not who I was, but I'm me still money.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's that Peyton Manning money.
Yeah. or do you want to be on the team in year 11 where y'all been struggling the last 3-4 years? You ain't really happy. You can't get out the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you just want to have options, in my opinion.
And speaking of that, I think maybe the first time you came on, we talked about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
You know, and so, since that time,
really, thank you.
You know, and since that time, you know, he's gotten out there in the market, but Antonio Brown is doing the strong arm too.
Right.
I just feel like both of those situations are just hellacious for like a team to take on at the same time.
For an organization like the Steelers, man, who for, you know, all purposes, man, has been great over the last 30
years. And
it's
like the one family that's owned it, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've been great, made the right decisions, only hired like 3 or 4 coaches. They fumbled this one, man. I think that GM.
He said
they fumbled this one. Yeah. I think the GM, you know, obviously you can't let Antonio Brown go the way they did the Le'Veon Bell situation.
But are you mad at AB for being like, yo, I want to be traded now, but he was hating on Le'Veon for not coming to play? Isn't that kind of like.
Yeah, that's a little different.
It's a little hateration. I feel like they're like, all of a sudden you were talking about you be a teammate.
Right, yeah.
And all that. Now you like, I want to be traded.
Right, yeah. So I don't get that. Him
hanging
and
out
Ben.
With, what's my homeboy, the linebacker? Hanging out with him, no, after.
James Harrison.
He can't be found. He like a missing child on a milk box, but he hanging out with him. In his spot, he on his Instagram live.
That's the one thing I didn't like about AB that he did. Like, dude, still show up, be a pro, right? Don't come to the game with your fur coat on and then
how's
and
that
then
leave the game. What condition is that locker room in throughout last year? I couldn't imagine.
It's a mess. And I think the GM came out, he didn't help the situation.
Mm.
When you call a grown man, these are like 52 other kids in the deal. Come on, man, I'm a grown man with kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you can't be sitting there like those are.
He got a lot of kids,
some
too.
Some of them old linemen, you'd be like, come on, man, you can't treat these grown men like that. Like, there's some professionals in there, too. Like, Big Ben is good, but he ain't got that type of leadership quality as a Tom Brady or somebody like that, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like it's kind of weird some of the stuff you're seeing with the quarterback situation right now. Because, like, you see the Giants, again, said, yeah, we sticking with Eli. I'm like, for what?
That's because they ain't got no other options. They tried to trade him. They can't trade him.
And they probably looked at that pick. They tried to trade the pick. And nobody's like, no.
So basically, they in that marriage that it's just it's cheaper to keep her at this point?
No, it ain't a marriage, though, where, like, we tell my kid go to college. Then we can break up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Odell is that kid that's about to ruin that house, though, if they keep having a dude that can't throw the ball 30 yards
right,
to him.
Right, absolutely.
Like, they got that number 6 pick. They sitting right there. I feel like they need to go to your boy from Ohio State and just turn the keys on.
Is he going to be there, though, is the question.
Haskins?
Somebody may move up.
That's what I'm saying. Who is he going to be at 6?
But I feel like a lot of what's happening right now, though, is with Kyler getting the hype that he's getting right now.
And I think that's overhyped.
Dude,
I mean,
let me just say this. Like, I was watching SportsCenter. Like, come on, man. Like, are we really sitting around waiting to see how tall this man is this morning?
No, they was looking at it like it was decision night.
Like, I know.
Like the precincts are reporting. We've got 3%
reporting from Indianapolis. What did his height end up being?
Like 5'10".
5'10 flat.
But that's what they're best. But they said, people were saying he's 5'9".
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing that when it jumped the shark for me, he's a little bit over 5'10", but it jumped the shark for me and they like, and he's got 9-inch hands. I'm like, come on, bro. Yeah, I'm real uncomfortable with this.
Can the brother
play?
Can he play?
Can he play? Thank you. He's decided what he wants to do with his life. Ain't we at the point where it's, man, let's talk about this Kyler, man. See, hell of a decision to make. We talking about Bryce and what he did right there. We talking about that condition of being that quarterback in the NFL. To me, I feel like being a quarterback in the NFL, if you on that caliber, is a sweet spot position in all the sports.
Well, let me just say this. Obviously, in baseball, it's a little different. He's probably going to have to work his way up, AAA, then get to the majors.
Right.
You never know. He can come out now and be a top 10 pick, make millions of dollars, whatever that is, and be a starting quarterback for an NFL franchise. Right. Right. If he's healthy enough, play well, he can maximize that deal. Guys are making $30 million a year now.
Mm-hmm.
So it could work out that way. It's just a physical game. He's a smaller guy. So
that's what I worry about him with it. Worry about him with that physicality.
And the problem is he has to be like – people feel like because you got a black quarterback in the NFL, you got to run, bro. You ain't got to run. You got to sit in the pocket. Dwayne Haskins, I love him, Ohio State guy. Not a runner.
He's a skinny Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, he can throw.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was about Byron to say.
Leftwich. He can sling it. That's what he has to do. But we always feel like with black quarterbacks, we got to talk about athletic ability and what they can do.
Look, y'all remember when they was trying to make Byron Leftwich do like quarterback draws because he was black when he went into the league at the Jaguars? Y'all know Byron Leftwich is like super slow.
A generous 260 back there.
And super slow. Like,
yeah, he wasn't running.
I would put money on he don't have a 5'1 40.
That's what they got to be smart about. Like even Lamar Jackson, like they ran him entirely too much this year.
Oh, man. I feel like he lost some back end of his career. He can't do that again.
They did that same thing with Griffin, though.
The RG3, absolutely. Yeah. They did. Absolutely they did. So, obviously, Kyler, hopefully, I wish him the best. I think he's going to make more money in football in the short term than he would in baseball. Obviously, because the road to baseball is so long to get to the majors, man. And,
yeah. To get the second contract in baseball takes as long as it is secure a lifetime worth of money in football.
Because I read an article about they played Vladimir Guerrero Jr., though, I guess, with his contract.
Well,
but, like, not bringing him up, but they ended up going to bring him up.
That's a standard fare, and that's one of the things in baseball. I mean, that happened with Chris Bryant. It was a big issue with him 4 years ago. They did it to Eloy Jimenez, who's about to be a big dog up with the White Sox this year. Like, that's one of the biggest problems with baseball is right now is that they have contract manipulation. Like, too many. They keep people from getting to their money. So that's why you see people like Bryce to get to that point and get to that money, and they're like, I'll take everything you got to offer right now. But you can't negotiate on a fair level in baseball, and that's, like, the issue.
Yeah, because
like,
he's going to play the franchise
tag. The franchise tag is a huge –
right.
It's a gift and a curse, I feel like.
Absolutely.
There's no benefit to how baseball.
You've been franchise tag before, right?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
The king of the franchise.
Yeah, so my question with you, Matt, for the baseball thing with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., so they seem like they're going to like not bring him, but then like bring him up like 5 or 10 games, like, and then it's like a different contract.
After 2 weeks into the season, underneath the current CBA, after 2 weeks into the season, they've secured another year of contractual control because of the arbitration process.
So then they basically gonna bring him up then.
So basically, teams are incentivized to not put their best players on the field.
Absolutely.
Which is a huge, I would think, as a union, that would be a huge problem for me because you're keeping people from maximizing their payday. Some guys don't get that second payday because they get held up. Like, look at Tommy Pham with the Cardinals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he developed slower, but now he's, like, winning arbitration cases. He's like, I don't care when I came up. This is the type of player I am. But they making people go to court to get their money. And, like, that's BS, that's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's crazy. But
I wish Kyler the best, man. I think he'll have a bright NFL future, though.
So, speaking of which, another guy with bright future, same time. Talk to me about Zion Williamson, man. Like, the big debate right now with Zion Williamson is it worth it? You know, last week, it was all good. We loving seeing him fly through the air, do things we haven't seen before. But then
it was all good just a week ago.
The Nikes blew out from underneath him like some XJ900s.
Right.
And then
Ninja and me, though, I want to go deeper in that. I have another layer of Conspiracy Ninja, though, above that.
Come on, Big Brother's Conspiracy Brother.
I think that actually his team might have did it.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
You think so? You think that?
Wow. Okay.
So before was my original one was that I thought that somebody else from one of the other brands got into the shoes and like did something to it. I think on someone's team, like, hey, man, I don't even feel like playing for real, but I don't even want to, like, play myself. It's like one of the things when you go out there and you be, like, you run it and, like, somebody beating you and you just act like you pulled a hamstring off and you want to, you lose. So you just, like, oh, I'm pulled up a hammy, then you fall on the side of the track. There you go.
So he saw that Anthony Davis drama that was going on the week before, and he was like, yo, dude might have a point. Let me go ahead and slice a little bit of this shoe and then be out of here. Or was he trying to get that Reggie Bush check?
He could get that Reggie Bush check, though.
Dad, I'm double insured down check.
But the insurance check is only available if his
career ends.
But he could have sued Nike and got real money, though.
Right. See, now, I think we talked about that.
Can you sue Nike and then take that Under Armour contract when you get to the
league? Absolutely, you can.
That would be shoe wars at a whole
level. It depends on how much money he would have lost if he would have seriously got injured, though. Let's say he did an ACL. Oh, Nike got to come see me, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Duke got to come see me because they issued the shoes.
They got to send somebody to you.
I'm going after everybody.
Because what if it would have hit his earnings like Michael Porter Jr.? Back injury hurt his. He goes from like number 3 pick to 14.
Absolutely.
And he ain't playing this year. Right. And he's making, I mean, that's a difference of like $10 million guaranteed each year.
Absolutely.
That's wild, dog. The stakes, man, the stakes for money in sports right now is just like, it's almost like the money is bigger than the box score a lot of times.
Dude, the thing that was discouraging about for me for the Zion issue was, dude, those tickets were going for Super Bowl prices.
Yeah.
For that Duke, North Carolina game, yeah.
$2,900.
He didn't get a dime of that money, man.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Something got to change with that. People paying $10,000. The president there. Come on, man. People.
Meek Mill was there too.
It was Meek with Crown.
Was Jay Z? Come on, man. Meek Mill is.
He's living his best life right now, bro. He's living his best
life. Robert Kraft had to go by the massage parlor first.
Yeah. In Durham?
Yeah. No. The one in Miami. His flight didn't get him back.
I'm about to say that's a whole nother problem if he's at Durham massage parlor. That's all them dorms. That's that Tobacco Road special.
Right. So I really got mixed views on the Zion thing. Obviously, I know he loves to play college. You can see him at the Syracuse game last week. Like, he wanted to be on the floor. Yeah. He wanted to play. But at the same time, it's so much to risk, man. So much risk in it. You know, he got a $100 million shoe contract on the line. You know.
When you get to the point that Zion's at, you know, where he knows he's going to be the number one pick no matter who's picking there and stuff like that, I don't know how, like, early on you understood, like, what your stock was going to be in the draft, and how you knew, you know, when you really kind of clicked in your head, like, boy, I got a lot on the line with this. Because you were also in the uncapped number one pick days, where it wasn't controlled.
So, because you came out as a junior, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, what, in your head, where does it get to a point where you, like, start looking at life around you a little bit different? Like, what's going on in Zion's head right now while he's knowing what's happening for him within the next year?
He's probably enjoying the college experience a little bit, but at the same time, you can't help but be like, man, and I'll get that rose. What's my first car? You know, all that kind of stuff.
So, was that what you thinking of? When did you know you were going to go pro? Like when in the season?
Well, I knew it right at the end of my sophomore year I was going to go.
Oh.
So, I knew a year early. I knew a year early, like next year, my last year.
So, you knew, was you telling people, like, yo, I'm out of, are you this?
I told my mom that. My mom was like, psh, boy, you better go to class.
I can only imagine. Oh,
so mom, you knew, though, because you, like,
I was like, yeah,
I know.
She was like, man, you better go, you know, she wasn't believing the hype, right? So, but no, I knew I was going to go. I knew I had a chance to go because I had won, you know, the Lombardi Trophy and, you know, obviously All-American and all that stuff. I'm like, dude, I just got to go out and ball. Although there is, in that position, there is some nerves in it, too. She's like, man, what if I get hurt? I had an insurance policy. Yeah,
right.
Was it really enough, though?
Right.
You don't know. So, you know, if something, you know, tragic happened.
Because Eddie George last year was your last year, right?
No, he was the year
before, you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he had won the highest.
So you the old lineman for Eddie George.
Yeah.
Moves you up.
Yeah. So,
it's like, oh, okay.
So absolutely. Bam. So, but no, I think the thought goes through your head, like, man, this is, you know, what do I do? You know, like even Nick Bosa, who left college because he got hurt. I couldn't be mad at him.
No, I remember you were saying, like, hey, you gotta.
He got to take care of his, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's big.
They got the strip clubs, though. He'd have been straight. He's standing on strip clubs, though. No, they own, like, Joy.
Oh,
Bull.
Yeah?
No, they own, like, a strip clubs in Miami. Like, they're, like, a strip club owning family.
Really?
No, like, they own, like, strip clubs. Like, that's their family business.
Plus, he got a brother that's about to be maxed out here.
Yeah, super maxed out. And they say Nick going to be nicer than Joey. Mm.
But they said his daddy got all the paper ahead of time, knuckles from the strip club.
Hey, man, get it
empire.
How you,
and he played in the league, too. He played in the
his
league.
His daddy did, too. That's what I'm saying. You know, I get my little chips. Got me a couple of.
I got two blue chip top 3 pick sons.
But, you know what the funny thing is? Like, cast, when you hear people talk about he should come back and play, it's always like
Nick
Bosa? No, Zion.
Oh, Zion, okay.
It's always these millionaire cats who already got it, established. People don't understand the struggle.
It's like you're putting where you came from, like you forgot.
Like, hold on, man. Like, Kobe, I appreciate what you said and all that. That's cool, but bro, you sitting on like $300-400 million, man. So
let's get that. That's on contract, not the endorsement money.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then let's get that quote out then. And I think I was kind of referencing what ended up happening was that Kobe had some words, you know what I'm saying, about what was going on with Zion too. Let me see where it's at. We got here. Okay. So I guess Kobe got asked about it by Mark Spears, and Kobe said, in terms of Zion, if he's healthy, he should go play. But you made the decision to go to college, and you made your commitment to the university. Then by all means, finish your commitment. I expect him to get healthy and come out and kick ass. And that's Kobe Bryant on Zion Williamson's current situation.
I don't know if he made the decision. He probably was forced to go to college because Kobe didn't have that same luxury. Kobe could go straight to the league,
right?
Came
out of high school, yeah.
Exactly.
So I don't know if it was his decision. I mean, obviously he was to go choose Duke. And I think Duke has helped him, though, because Barrett was clearly the better player coming into the season.
Yeah,
right?
And also people had a susceptible thinking he had no jump shot. Yep. He couldn't come off the dribble because they was like, only thing I've seen him is just dunking on these tapes.
Absolutely.
And people got to see his other aspects of his game.
But I think that the point, like what college does, though, is still showcases and give people a chance to either, like to your point about Zion, like solidify who you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Or help you get the exposure and the buzz that makes you the money off court.
Absolutely. Or it could go a different way. You brought up Porter Jr. I mean, he got hurt and it didn't work out for him. So
it's a crapshoot. I mean, there's no right. I don't think the only right answer is that people should be getting proceeds for what they help create.
Period.
I think that we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
One way or the other.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're
Mahershala
walking,
Ali around, should be getting money when he played at St. Mary's.
I think Mahershala Ali got the
When he was at St. Mary's, his 8.8 was worth at least a couple.
I'm getting a Gilmore St. Mary's jersey for the spring.
Yo. We need to get Mahershala Ali St. Mary's jerseys.
Let's get them, Doug. We'll get them with that Colombian fried chicken t-shirt.
If the school was smart, I would start marketing those jerseys, though.
You're going to have to pay him now, though.
You got to cut that check.
Do you have to cut the check, though, if I'm a legacy, like if I went to X University?
They selling Max Scherzer t-shirts up in the Mizzou gift shop right now with his face up on the front of them. Max Scherzer getting a piece of that action.
Well, no, I'm saying because
selling 75 jerseys in Columbus.
Cut the check.
Okay. What if they sell 75 without your name on the back?
Yeah, now they can do that, though.
That's 100% bootlegging right there.
Look.
But that's what's been happening. Like, Brad Smith was walking around with all the 16 jerseys in Columbia for years. Like, and sitting in class with people wearing his jersey, and he's wearing team-issued sweats. Come on, bro.
Yeah, the hustle's real.
It's 100% real.
Have you seen people at a game, though? You'd be like, you got a Pace jersey on. How you do that?
Yeah, I've seen that. When I was in college, man, I used to go to the local Foot Locker. They had the Pace jerseys in there, 75, everything, man. They ain't put the names on the back of them. But come on, everybody knew.
But I'm talking about somebody with your name on the back, like
I've seen that. Yeah, yeah.
Like they went and got it customized.
Yeah, what does that mean? They got it customized.
Yeah, them royalty checks ain't what they, you know. It's a little bit, but
anyway. Well, you done got a few 76 checks.
Man. Oh yeah, I got a couple.
You can get those to cut through. Okay. All right, man. Before we get you out of here today, man, you know one thing that you know I always tell folks on here, and they know in real life that you know it's like you're my spiritual advisor out here.
Oh, what?
My business, because even though Carla says don't listen to this dude, I say hey, at the end of the day, this is my business advisor. He sat me down Saturday night, looked me right in my eyes, said, "This is what you need to be doing out here. Get this business taken care of."
I did.
But
I
before did. That, we was drinking Manhattans. It was a very serious conversation. I believed him. He told our other homeboy, same thing, very successful business. You need to get your stuff together, too. I'm like, all right, coach.
That was on my motivational vein. That was the Vino O right there.
It was Vino O. Vino O would tell you what's going on in your life.
Vino O. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like playoff P, only it really delivers.
I was going to ask you, I wasn't going too hard on you guys, right?
No, everybody sitting there needed to hear that. Okay. Everybody sitting there. It's like, right. You got to get out here and work on that brand, man, and make that be who you are. I was like, all right, let's go.
Right.
It's 12:30 on Saturday. I'm going to start tomorrow. I was ready.
When I wake up from these vinos.
But I
want everybody to eat, man. Let's all get
it. Hey,
man.
It's a plan, and if everything goes through, everybody's going to be sitting at the table the same way. But I did follow the plan, and as we announced on the scenario, I went through with the plan. I got the ring together. I got it out there. She said, yes, everything's changing out here. So, you know, I know we have these conversations. We're going to always have these conversations. But as a newly engaged brother, as a brother turning corner in his life, you can jump in here kind of too, because you immediately had that. You had that. It's been 2 or 3 years fatigue in your eyes real quick. Ray, you got Ray. Ray's not on camera. Ray got a couple months in the game.
6 months.
Oh no, Ray did a player though. Ray left to go to his wedding.
Yeah, in this pup. And you was
but we was getting ready. No, not Facebook, because we was getting ready to do the scenario.
Yeah, we was.
And I opened up the box. He sent me a maker's mark and a cigar. I said, "Yo, I'm on the way to go get married right now. On his way to Africa.
Nice.
On his way to the motherland.
Nice.
And I was like, dog, I can't beat this. So I'm just going to go the complete other direction and have like a 300-person blowout situation.
Hey, well done, Ray. I'm telling you, that's the way to do it, brother.
So what's the game plan right now, Coach? Where am I at? Where am I brother, at in the game right now?
Right now, you living your best life right now, brother. What I mean?
Trying to.
You know, enjoy it right now, because will you tell him it's going to change a little bit once he say I do? Just a little bit.
Seriously.
What's going to be in y'all minds when y'all sitting in that room and y'all looking up at that thing at that moment? Like, oh, I'm so happy for him. Yeah, he don't know what just happened in his life. Or, yeah, that's what's up. Let's go hit this bar.
Yeah, that's what's up. Let's go hit this
bar. Let's hit this bar, though, man.
Because everybody's situation is different, though, at the end of the day. Like, you know, obviously all three of our married men here, everybody's different, man.
Yeah.
But I will say, this is real marriage advice. This is Vino O talking.
Okay.
It's always like, marriage is always under construction, though, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, brother, you always got to work on it, man. And every day different.
It's the building fund at the church.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's no bottom to it. It's no limit.
No bottom. It's the building fund.
It's the building fund, brother. And you go into the church, I'm like, damn, they still ain't got the
where's
building.
Where's the building?
Yeah. And you be like, now y'all need 1.5 mil?
Absolutely.
I thought we said 500,000.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, bro, it's always under construction, brother. I'm telling you. And you got to be willing to put the work in. Both of you guys need to be willing to put the work in.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going.
It's under construction. Man, it's the building fund.
I'm going to start using that.
It's the building fund, man.
You might not ever see the building, but you still, every.
But it's there.
You
got
to make them deposits.
But you know he
gonna am I right or wrong, Ray? Absolutely.
You know that basket going to come around every Sunday, and you're going to be expecting to throw something in.
And that special offering is the third one. That third offer is a special offer.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that the one where you're paying for your own birthday party?
You got damn right.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, we can have a whole segment on that one, though. Hey, be prepared for that part of it, brother.
I got a birthday. He
was somebody he went to, what was it, you said Mortensen's, you said, right?
Mortensen's.
Mortensen's for your birthday.
Oh, I went to Fleming's.
Fleming's for your birthday. Yeah. And he was like, man, yo, I was like, that's different for me, though. When I go, I'm like, yo, so I had to figure out. At first, I was like, I remember this. We went to Landry's first before he went to the concert. And I'm like, yo, so which one? I was like, yo, man, on the real, though, is this like.
Which one am I paying for?
Is this like out of yours? And she's like, we'll talk about that later. Like, we'll talk about that later. And then I was in the concert like, yo, I'm sitting there like, hey, man, on the real, man. Like, she was like. I'm probably going to ask you for gas money at the end of the week. They're like, well, shit, it's fucking.
It's on the house.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, I'm looking forward to payday.
Yeah.
Well, man.
I will say this, though. One last piece of advice. Always date your wife.
Ooh.
Pick a day out the week and say, let's go on a date.
All right.
That's real.
That's real.
Don't let it go 2-3 weeks without doing it, brother. At least,
well, hey, give everybody else your other piece of advice, too.
See, like, you want me to give you that one? For, look,
no,
so,
I just said about how
to get out the game for free.
No, this is
because it's the off. No, it's the offset of this advice. It's important balance.
This is the first thing I did tell Matt. Hey, brother, if you go watch the game every Monday, continue to go watch the game every Monday. Even when it ain't a game, just go to the sitting garage or something, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to get that time set in.
Just because you know, because once you sit down and watch that Empire show with her, one
you in for the whole season.
You locked in.
Brother, if you take a trip every year, continue to take that trip every year, brother. Don't ever change it up. And that keeps a healthy, happy wife, happy life, man.
Hey, man. Let's raise
one. And let her do her thing, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, man.
Thank you for another
OG. Hey, appreciate it, brother.
No doubt, man.
Next one, we're going to have a guest with us, though, man.
Let's do it, man.
We talking about the money. We're going to have another athlete.
Let's
go back to the gambling, because our normal thing going forward for all our listeners is going to be how much money you seen get lost on the plane with all the athletes. That's going to be the first one. Like, before in, that's the first before. The how much money do you lose on the plane? Well, so how much you seen get lost?
The thing that's going to do is we're going to have war stories. Like, you know what I'm saying? We have a guest come on. This, you know, we got a couple guys talking from the from the NBA, a couple guys from the NHL come on and talk about the life.
Other NFL players?
Yeah, so, like, doing that. But, you know, also, though, you know, I mean, coming soon, we're going to have a new project coming.
Gonna have some projects coming forward. You know, he came on here for the guest star.
Yeah, we
now he got his own album coming out.
I'm going to do the spinoff, man.
Yeah, he got his own spin-off, album
100%.
Coming out.
He's going to have the different world version of the scenario.
No. He the Family Matters to our Perfect Strangers.
Which one am I? If we Perfect Strangers, are you Balky?
I got to be Balky.
All right, cool. I'll take that. Hey, man. Hey, we appreciate y'all.
Shout out to Harriet, though. That was the, you know, she's the elevator operator on Perfect Strangers. That's how
Phantom
Menace
happened. Right. I almost
forgot
about that.
That's how Phantom Menace is a spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
Yo, she did her job for that. She's like the Ron Harper of Family Matters.
And they got her stole show by Jaleel White, another Ralph Tresvant situation.
Oh, we'll get into that. I want to get into some more. I want to hear about some Ralph Tresvant situations behind the scenes in the world. No.
Always got to keep that in his mind, though. Oh, next show, we need you to talk about the Ralph Tresvant in the league. Someone that nobody thought was going to be popping, you're like, oh, that's the man?
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody else became the man, and it's like, the man ain't the man no more.
Yeah, and at least, and Trent and Kurt don't count.
I was just about to say, that was the first one off the top of my head.
That don't count. That's an easy one.
Like, it'd either be somebody that picked it up at the Dome or picked it up on Wash Ave. We don't care. Just one way.
I got a couple of those. That's a good segment. I got a couple of those, guys.
Got those. All right, y'all. Hey,
email us.
We appreciate it, man. OG Hour.
Yeah.
Another one coming in the books real quick.
StraightOLC@gmail.com. Email us. Send us all the questions for O, and we will sort them out then. We appreciate it as always.
Yo, peace.
Peace.
So you heard about something.